Okay, Sweaty Yeti here. We're on the rooftop terrace. You guys can keep talking. We're on the rooftop terrace of the Envoy Hostel. It's probably the sickest view of any hostel I've stayed at. You basically have 360-degree view of all of Tbilisi, the fortress up top, a bunch of hotels, churches, beautiful night view. Somebody is barbecuing some delicious-smelling fish, and I'm here with some new friends, kind of an international crew. Germany, Canada, and the U.S. are represented. Yes. Woo! So I'm gonna pass it around. Just introduce yourself.
Okay, I'm Anton from Germany. Yeah.
Okay. What are you doing here?
I'm here for 1 week because my university has a partnership with another university in Tbilisi. So in Germany we say Tiflis.
Tiflis.
So, and now I'm confused how to pronounce that city, but...
Whatever feels right. Yeah. It's actually the original name. Do you know the original name? Sacavello.
Oh.
That's how the locals say it. Sacavello. Oh.
But the locals say also... what was the short version?
Tbilisi.
I pass it on. My name is Steve. I'm from Edmonton, Alberta, Canada, here with my buddy Michael. We're almost into our... almost at the end of our first week of the trip, out of 2 weeks, started in Azerbaijan, bulk of the time in Georgia here for the wine, the food, the people, ending in Armenia. And Tbilisi has been an amazing experience, and actually this is the most people that I've met traveling on this trip so far, so it's awesome to be hanging out with you guys, and thank you. Thanks for being here, everyone.
My name's Michael. I'm from Edmonton, Canada as well. I'm going to keep it short and sweet. Cheers. The great wine.
Garamajos,
as they say in Georgia.
Jos.
Okay, so it's a tradition in... Well, let's do one more introduction.
Okay.
Hi, I'm Carly. I'm from Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Go Packers! I met these two guys from Canada on a bus from Baku to Sheki, and I'm tagging along with them, and they're like my bros. I'm happy to meet everyone here. Go Packers.
You're from Milwaukee, but where do you live
now? Now I live in the Netherlands, in Rotterdam. Cool. Come visit me and stay with me. I have 2 bedrooms.
Nice. Oh, so that's an invite to all my...
I have
maybe like 8 listeners, so, you know, it's not going to be a big deal.
Cool. You can come visit me.
So it's kind of a tradition. I don't know if you know this, but it's a tradition in Georgia to give toasts a lot. Do you know this?
There's a Toastmaster.
Yeah.
Last night he was a Toastmaster.
So tell me what you know about the Toastmaster tradition.
Oh, we don't know much, but we do know that the Toastmaster ends up drinking
three or four liters
of wine in the night.
Yeah.
And I guess there's like 13 traditional toasts that you're supposed to do, and then everybody adds more and more toasts to that. So does anyone want to start off with a toast? Oh, and the cheers in Georgian is Garamajos. Garamajos.
Is that, what do you mean by traditional 13 different cheers? Do you know any? Or do you
know, I don't know
like
any.
The theme?
I don't know, and this is only what my tour guide told
me. So someone can just be the Toastmaster.
Yeah.
But we can all be
Toastmasters. Here, I'll just lead it off.
Yeah, please lead it off.
So I'm going to give my first toast to travelers. So, you know, when I travel, you know, seeing all the cool sights and the old buildings is great and all, but really it's all about the interesting, fun people that you meet along the way. And these 4 new friends are a good example of that. So here's to meeting amazing people from all corners of the world. Garamajos! Okay, so, oh, we got a drink first.
Oh, yeah.
So anyone want to do a toast?
Yes.
You can keep it, okay.
Thank you. I was like,
yeah.
Arriba, el bajo, el dentro. El centro.
Oh, nice.
You have to go
El centro.
Centro. Can you say arriba?
Arriba, el bajo, el dentro, el centro.
El centro, el dentro.
Is that
Spanish? And then there's para dentro. Right, el centro, el dentro. Yes, I got it backwards.
Yeah, it's all good.
El centro, para dentro.
Okay. It's nice.
Your turn.
Do you have a good German cheers? Yeah, I know you do.
Okay, we're gonna pass this over to Antoine from Germany for the German toast.
Let me just check something real quick. Make sure. I'm always nervous. It's not recording. Okay, we're good.
Not close. Yeah. Von den Titten zum Sack, zack, zack.
Von den Titten? Wait, say it again. Yeah.
Von den Titten zum Sack.
Zum Sack?
Zack, zack.
Zack, zack.
So von Titten?
Von den Titten? Titten zum Sack?
Zum Sack?
Zum Sack? Zack, zack, zack.
Pop.
Can you tell us exactly the translation, please?
I think you can kind of guess.
What's a zack, zack?
Zack, zack means just like cluck, cluck, cluck.
Ah, yeah.
So my name means chug. Yeah. So you know what else is funny? My name in other languages, so in Arabic, Zaki means delicious. So all the, everyone in Jordan was like, Zaki! Zack, zack.
That's awesome. It also means
you got one,
take
Carly?
A bat.
I'll do one. From Alberta. More cheers, more beers, that's it, and that's all.
Oh, I like it. It's simple.
Don't give me, I don't really know.
Simple, just Wisconsin. Like Albertans.
Go Packers!
I can't hear it without like, using profanity.
That's fine. This is an R-rated podcast.
I mean...
Come on, let's hear it. Don't be shy.
No, I mean, all we pretty much say is, let's get fucked up.
All right.
Let's get fucked up.
So that's a little cross-cultural experience there for everybody.
Yeah. Some more cultural than others.
Okay. I'm going to teach you a little Japanese. Minasan iki no mimasho.
Minasan iki.
Nomimasho. Let's everybody chug your beer.
Oh.
Ikinomu means like drink fast.
Oh.
Gosh. Cool.
In Korea they say gamba.
Gambe.
Oh, gambe. So yeah, gambe. You have to look away from.
Oh, really?
Because
I didn't know
usually
that.
You're drinking with your boss and you can't look at your boss in the eye. You have to look away from.
Really?
Yeah. And it's like respect. You look away and drink.
And afterwards, they're doing this harp.
Yeah, the harp. The harp.
And we got tunes provided by. What's your DJ name, Steve?
DJ Steve. Or even just Steve. I haven't got that far yet. But now I'm going to think about that.
I'm sure you'll come up with something great.
Here, I'll put this out in the middle. Oh, and also, okay, here's another toast. Thanks for all the sausage, cheese, and salad, and bread, and wine that you guys just offered to everyone.
Yeah,
of course.
And I say thanks for the drinks. So,
thanks for the drinks.
Hey, thanks.
Pleasure, I mean.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Thanks for the cha-cha.
Cha-cha. Who wants a shot of cha-cha?
I can't believe you still have some left of that bottle. It seems like I felt like I just drank that bottle.
Okay, so for the listeners out there, cha-cha is this delicious new concoction that I've discovered. And it is basically an alcohol made from the excess, like, grape stuff that after they make wine out of it, then they make booze out of it.
Yeah.
So it's like upcycling. It's
it's
sustainable. It's for the environment.
It's resourceful.
And it's delicious, and it gets you wasted.
No grape goes to waste.
Yeah.
It's like the water fountain.
No grape goes to waste.
Recirculating the water.
Yeah.
Cha-cha
That's
time.
Awesome. Cha-cha.
Cha-cha time.
Also, like, maybe we should do the cha-cha slide sometime.
The cha-cha slide.
And
every time I hear cha-cha, I think it's a cha-cha slide.
Yeah, me too.
I'm not familiar with this dance. Somebody has
like
to demonstrate.
But the cha-cha is a dance in itself.
The cha-cha
right?
is a dance, but then the cha-cha slide is like...
That's like a line... Like
is
a
that
line
like the electric dance. Slide?
Like similar.
Similar, but like they played it all out of weddings.
You might have
like,
to demonstrate for
no,
us.
No, I need if it's playing, I'll demonstrate. But I'm not gonna. But it's like to the left, to the right. Now kick, now kick, now kick. Don't do it by yourself. No, like that. No.
Nice. Oh my God! Freeze. This is the one. Everybody, oh, and step to the left. Step to the right. Now stop one time. That's the one, right? Oh my God! Freeze. I hate that song. No. So much.
Slide to the left.
That's it, right?
Slide to the right.
Oh, crisscross. I'm seeing the Cupid Shuffle.
Crisscross. That is the cha-cha slide.
Yeah, you're right.
Oh, that
you're
is, right. Oh
hands
my
on your
God.
Knees. Hands on your knees.
If that ever comes on at the bar, I'm like outside for a smoke. I hate that song so much.
And for the listeners out there, he doesn't even smoke.
He doesn't even smoke.
But he's outside doing the cha-cha slide.
Never. They won't catch me dead.
Tonight you're going to do it.
I'll do the cha-cha slide.
Maybe.
Where are you guys staying? Are you in dorm rooms or?
Yeah, dorm room.
Dorm. Are you in our dorm room?
I'm on the first floor, or the, I guess, second floor.
Yeah.
The
like
floor below this.
Yeah, us too. It seemed like there was no one in our
room. I'm in a four. I think there's a Greek guy and a Scottish guy that are sharing my dorm.
That doesn't sound like
there's
us.
We have six beds, but it's only the three of us.
I
maybe
have eight.
Oh,
eight.
Weird. We're all in different rooms. Yeah. That's cool.
Yeah, those guys were out till late night last night.
Really?
So they're probably, I don't know what they're up to tonight.
Did they sleep in pretty late today?
Well, I took off at 9 and they were dead asleep, so.
Any idea when they came back, or?
I feel like I woke up around 4 in the morning and they were just stumbling in, so they were out pretty late.
Yeah, we were looking up, like, some of the clubs here. One Georgian girl recommended a place to go to last night when we were in Signahi, and we looked it up, and it's like that opening hours, it's 11 p.m. to 10 a.m.
Oh
like those
God.
Little hours.
Every
like,
evening.
Okay. Yeah.
Every evening or every day.
I don't know, every day.
I don't know, every day.
But tonight, yes, because it's
tonight,
Saturday.
Yeah.
So if you want to go out, you guys want to go out, we're going to...
Are you guys gonna hit it up late night? Tonight?
I signed up
probably.
For
probably.
No, I don't know.
Free to
well, I'm not a like go out to the club at 3 a.m.
Oh,
kind
neither,
of person.
But I feel like I have to here.
Yeah, have
one
to.
Night.
Yeah, yeah. This is our
and
night.
This would be the night that I do it. I haven't really gone out late in a long time.
I could maybe handle a few drinks, but man, I'm the oldest one here. So
yeah, don't worry, man. Like I plan on going out, but like I'm not gonna wait until like. Halfway through the like until the morning.
No, you know,
like
no,
I'm not
no.
gonna go out at 3 a.m.
I don't want
like,
to see the sun come up.
Oh God, no! No.
I want to be in bed before that.
I want to actually at least somewhat enjoy my day tomorrow.
Yeah.
Are you
productive.
Guys going anywhere tomorrow? Or tours? Or
oh
anything?
Yeah, we're off tomorrow. We're renting a car tomorrow.
Oh, cool.
So yeah, we have that for the second half of our trip. We're gonna go up to the mountains. Eventually, then. Probably drop Carly off, I think, Tuesday back here, and then head out west to the Black Sea.
Oh, cool. To Batumi?
Not sure. Maybe, but maybe we've also kind of been advised against that, so we might go to a different town there.
Okay. Most Georgians and people that I've met just say, it's like, it's kind of this like luxury resort town. The sea's too cold to swim, blah, blah, blah. But I met this Palestinian guy in Lebanon who freaking loves Batumi. And because he's a big gambler and he loves casinos.
Oh, yeah, okay.
So he's just like, you have to go to Batumi. It's the best place. And I'm just like, okay. But nobody else has like said that it's worth
it. From what I've seen, if you go a couple hours inland from the Black Sea coast, there's a lot of like national reserves and like rivers and canyons.
Yeah.
And, like looks up some pretty interesting things to see, like just you know, some pretty like natural.
So you guys gonna do some like hiking or anything like that?
I think we'll do some hiking up north, probably try and do one hike at least.
That's
what I'm here for.
We gotta get a hike in.
Yeah, I have to get a hike in, otherwise I'll be like, because the Netherlands is super flat.
In the higher elevations, is it pretty cold? Is there snow yet?
I couldn't say for sure, but from what I've been looking at the forecast, like
supposedly
at least in the villages, it doesn't look like there's snow. Like it might be a high of 13, 14 and a low of like Celsius. Mm-hmm. Are you good with Celsius?
I'm okay.
So
I kinda know.
Maybe like 55 Fahrenheit and a low of like 35, 40.
Yeah, like
so
close to freezing,
but not quite. But you know, I imagine once you start. you know, if you hike a pass or something, like, you'll probably find some snow at some point.
Yeah, I'm sure. We'll see.
But hey, I mean, let's go for it.
I know. I was, like, prepared to hike through some shit, but I don't really have the gear.
Yeah, but what are you doing in Rotterdam?
I'm a teacher.
Oh.
Yeah, so I teach there. Yeah, my boyfriend's there, so that's why I moved up to join him and find a job there. Have you been there before, Rotterdam? No? Well, you're welcome to come.
Yeah, thank you.
It's like it's a pretty cool city. It's like, you know, people usually just go to Amsterdam, and Amsterdam's beautiful, but
Utrecht.
I've never been to Utrecht.
Hey, Utrecht, my favorite actually is Utrecht.
Have you been? Heard that it's like
a bit smaller
Amsterdam.
Not that many tourists.
Yeah.
That sounds interesting.
Yeah, yeah. People always say Utrecht is really cool, and it's only like an hour. I mean, everything's so close there.
Yeah, true.
But I haven't been to Utrecht yet. But yeah, Rotterdam is cool. It's just like, because it was completely destroyed in World War II, it's like, it doesn't have the same charm as Amsterdam, but it's like very modern. There's some weird modern architecture there, which is pretty interesting, but there's like a cool like bar scene, and it's a cool city. It's really diverse. Like, there are people from all over the world. Like, only 40% of the population is actually like Dutch.
What?
Yeah, oh yeah. So it's like, you see people from all over the world, and that's cool. But
in Rotterdam?
Yeah, in Rotterdam. Rotterdam's decent city. Yeah.
So you're liking living in Amsterdam so far?
I live in Rotterdam.
Oh, you live in Rotterdam.
Yeah, I don't live in Amsterdam,
sorry.
Yeah, I like it. I mean, the weather is kind of not.
Was it hard to find a place to live?
Well, the reason why I moved there is because my boyfriend lives there.
Okay.
And he...
Is he Dutch?
No, he's Italian, but still EU. So,
okay.
But Rotterdam's much easier to find a place than Amsterdam. I heard, that's what I was asking you, I heard Amsterdam is really difficult to find a place.
Yeah.
The whole, like,
that's what I've heard.
Everyone puts their houses on Airbnb, or they're just, like, renting out for just, like, crazy
I think
money.
There's crazy, like, deposits, too. Like,
yeah.
You have to put, like,
three months down.
What?
Something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. 3 months down, you have to sign away your firstborn
so
child.
And a lot of them don't come with, like, lighting or floors or something weird. Or
like, you have to add,
maybe
like,
I'm thinking of
your own...
My friends who I stayed with in Copenhagen said that, like, their apartment, like, didn't come with a lot of just basic stuff. Like, they had to buy, like, lighting fixtures, and they had to buy, like, floors.
Maybe if you buy, we got a furnished place, so thank goodness. Otherwise, but I did see, like, if it's completely unfurnished, there's just, you go over this wire, hanging.
Yeah, you have to, like, finish it yourself.
They just like take everything
and they'll
take everything, clean the place out, everything they can, and like go with it.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Yeah. They will you won't be left with anything.
For a two bedroom apartment, like what would you be looking at paying? In a decent location for something.
Amsterdam. Because I'm in Rotterdam, which
is
the second biggest city.
Yeah, let's go Rotterdam.
Decent location,
and something that's not a shoebox.
No,
like
we have an 80 square meter place, which is like pretty decent. We pay €1,200
for two bedroom.
Yeah.
That's like what we pay
in Amsterdam.
And
like,
what's your location?
We're in Rotterdam. Just
or
like,
no, I mean like your location within Rotterdam.
Like, I can walk to the main central train station in 10 to 12 minutes.
Are you close to, like, the city center?
Yeah, I mean, you can walk there in maybe, like, 20 to 30 minutes.
Okay, so...
But you might want to take a metro, but the metro is, like, two stops.
That's actually, like, pretty comparable, then, to Edmonton.
Oh, yeah? Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Maybe a little bit more. Well,
oh yeah, because we're like, I bought our place, but we were renting before, and we were without utilities. We were 1,800 Canadians, so what, like 1,400 US
for a two bedroom?
For two bed, 1,100 square foot two bedroom. But it's like, it's nice. It's like an open concept. We're on the top floor. Our balcony is like a sun deck.
Yeah.
Like lots of trees. And we're like right on the edge of downtown. So it's,
as far as
Edmonton goes, it's in like and we're like half a block from the train station.
And what's that in USD?
Like 14?
Wait, if it's 1,800 euros?
Canadian.
Oh, Canadian.
Canadian, yeah.
What's the exchange rate these days?
75 cents or 75, 80? So, under 80.
77 or so. I don't know.
Yeah, because in my city, in Portland, it's hard to find a one bedroom for less than $1,500 US.
Oh my god.
$1,500 US.
It's getting spandy.
That's
crazy. Yeah.
That's
nuts.
I know. It's just.
God damn.
Well, we have a lot of people moving to my city, so there's tons. Mm-hmm.
Everybody's into Portland now, man. All those. The scene, right? There's a scene there now.
I know. There never used to be.
Who is this? I love this.
Fdel? I think. I don't know how to say it. F-D-E-L. Fdel. Fdel.
Fidel. What does an apartment in your area cost? do you live in university housing?
No, I have a shared flat, or how do you call it? So,
yeah, sure.
It's a flat with three rooms, so two other students and me, and I'm paying, it's a bit different, so in total with gas, electricity, and so on, I think 450 euro.
But that's your portion, so times three, right?
Yeah.
More or less times
three. Okay. Is it a small place, or is it?
No, it's 7 or nearly 18.
80 square meters?
Square meter,
80,
you.
Yeah, that's pretty big.
That's pretty good, and yeah, the location is good. So it's very close to my university and to the city center in Freiburg, so I'm pretty happy with that.
Yeah, that's really good.
But, of course, it's a bit like, would be hard to afford completely on my own. So maybe that there are some parents. So the good thing is nursing in Germany means you're doing an apprenticeship, not a bachelor degree like USA or Canada.
Yeah.
So I have already the qualification to work as a nurse, specialized on old people and people with special needs.
So you can work.
Yeah, and my studies are part-time, so every time 2 weeks full-time and then 2 weeks off. That means I can earn money next to.
Does that profession pay pretty well in Germany?
I mean,
pretty well is nah.
No.
For that responsibility we have to work with people, it's not well, but it's okay. And if I do it as a part-time job and so on, it's better than working.
So you have right now you're working part-time, but are your studies free? Yeah.
That's the answer.
They go to school for free.
See, we just put all of our students in horrible debt that they can never repay. Where did you go to school?
University of Wisconsin.
Man, I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't
know. Badger. I had in-state tuition.
How are the Badgers doing this season? Do you follow football?
Like,
I follow the Packers.
Like anything free.
I know, I'm such a bad guy.
Do you have tickets to the Packers, to Lambeau?
No, I've been before, but I don't have tickets. I'm not like one of the season tickets.
Well,
holders.
It's like, don't the ticket holders kind of own the...
They're like shareholders. That's what's cool about my football team. Be a Packers fan.
I used to be a Packers fan when Brett Favre was the quarterback. And Sterling Sharp.
Yeah, I love Sterling Sharp. He was like my favorite.
Yeah. Those are the days I don't really follow NFL anymore.
Butler,
Reggie White.
Reggie White, he was like a classic. Yeah, no, I mean, it's hard for me to. I've been living outside of the States since 2011, so it's really hard for me to follow football with time difference and everything. And like, I can't watch the games or I have to try to stream it, and that's not fun. So
where
did
you live before? Netherlands.
I was living in Spain before the Netherlands, and before the Netherlands, I was living in Korea, and before Korea, I was living in France.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm just going to
all teaching
Just teaching. I'm an elementary school teacher, but now I moved to high school ELA.
That's cool. I did. I taught.
Oh no, I don't.
Oh, cool. Where in Japan?
Tokyo.
Oh, nice.
Where's the Astro?
Here.
Should we get more wine? I reckon we're out.
The hostel also sells wine.
Oh, the hostel sells wine?
Yeah.
When we were asking about...
There's a wine shop right down the street. There's one around the corner. Is this Heavy D?
No.
Who is this?
Goldfish. Man, have you heard Goldfish? They're sick. It's this...
I think
they're from the Netherlands, actually. No, South Africa. They're South African. And they're
two, like, they went to school for jazz, like, they're jazz musicians, but then they became DJs.
Yeah, I mean, wow. You're old school? Like, 10 years ago, 15 years ago? I mean, not old school, but, like
they started off maybe 10 years ago, yeah. So they're still releasing
music. Okay. Hip-hop. Can I mean, we just talk about this?
I'm
late
like
80s, early 90s.
People say old school, genre,
people say like old kind of school, and they go, yeah, like Lil Wayne. And I'm like, fuck
no,
you.
No, I'm three. I was born in the 80s. Okay. I was born in the 80s. Okay.
Yeah, like they,
I just mean like this kind of genre is like...
But they play their own instruments and like incorporate a bunch of jazz and like different elements. And oh, they're so good.
That's awesome.
So good.
So Goldfish was the name of that.
Goldfish, yeah.
How close are you to Strasbourg?
20 minutes by
really?
Train
or
25.
Such
do
a beautiful
French?
City.
Yes, Strasbourg.
Oh, petit peu.
Petit peu, petit peu.
I can order something. So I had French in school. So I say every time, I guess I understand the grammar, but I forgot all the words and so on. If you're not.
Yeah, always using it.
Using it and so on, it's pretty hard.
Yeah. Especially if you're like, you concentrate already on learning another language, English, then it's like hard to like keep a third one going, you know? Yeah. And when us native English speakers, it's like we just have to concentrate on just one other and we'll feel okay about ourselves.
Did you study foreign language?
I went to a French immersion school.
Oh,
and
cool.
So did Steve, actually. Okay. Well, Michael, you did too, but you went to the English section, right?
Isn't it?
Well, it was just a school.
But are you required to learn French in Canada?
No.
You are up to in elementary.
Oh, well, like a degree of French.
Like a
so
French
you're not required
class.
To be, like, we were in French immersion, so everything's in French. But the requirement is, like, one French class.
Gotcha.
Until sixth grade.
Which honestly is grade, like,
but is that all
you don't
Canadians are required
really
to have,
learn
like,
much,
1 hour
eh?
French? In elementary school?
I think so. I don't even know if it's for the whole...
In Newfoundland, are they doing 1 hour French?
Well, shit, if Alberta is doing it, then Newfoundland
really?
Probably
okay.
is, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Well, yeah. Maybe.
Maybe. But, like, Albertans were... Like, there's a lot of hate for Quebec.
Oh,
like,
really?
Yeah, because
let's hear all about that.
So Alberta sort of like Alberta sort of like the Texas of the North. We got all the oil money, and Quebec is they don't have a lot of industry, so a lot of our transfer payments end up going to them because they're a very populous country or province. Freudian slip because they want to separate, but they're very populous, but their economy is like they have higher unemployment rates and everything. So Albertans feel like we're paying them, like our money's going to them, and that like it should be ours, but we have to pay for them. And they do like they're kind of viewed as being a little bit pretentious and like
French.
There's just some French. Yeah.
French. I mean, but like so when they have this huge you know movement of being like independent or whatever, are you like be independent, we don't want to pay for you guys anymore,
it's more like just try it and see how that's going to work out. See what it's like to not have our oil money propping you up, like good luck. You're going to become crawling back and like pretty quickly.
Have they been closed?
They had a referendum that was 51-49 against.
Just recently?
10 years ago?
Yeah, that was a while ago.
Wow. Well, are you going to let the West Coast join up with the rest of Canada if Trump wins a second term?
Oh, like California?
In Oregon?
And Washington?
Like, join Canada?
Yeah. Oh, that would be amazing for Canada.
Yeah.
That would be incredible.
It'd be amazing for us.
And probably sick for you guys, too. Yeah. Like properly legal weed.
Yeah.
Not just like legal weed, like... Legal weed.
No, we have legal weed
on
the West Coast.
I know, but it's not technically legal.
No, really? It is legal.
No, it's not federally legal.
Not federally.
Right.
It doesn't matter.
So technically, feds could come into your state and.
Yeah.
Right? But the problem
if you come to Portland, there's weed shops.
Right, but
everywhere.
can you pay for weed with a Visa card?
Yeah.
You can now?
Uh huh.
Yeah. Okay, because last time I checked, like. Credit card companies like wouldn't take payments because it's not technically
you're
legal.
Right. You're right. It depends. Some dispensaries still you have you have to pay with cash, but they all have like ATMs inside the dispensary.
Right.
But I've seen some of them now, you can pay with a credit card.
But it sucks because, like, if it was federally legal, your states would be like the cannabis leaders in the world.
Oh, yeah.
But now, like, that's Canada. Like, well, so we're taking that market position.
So what's happening is, like, Oregon has always been a big weed producer, even when it was illegal.
Yeah.
So once it became legal, like, all these people jumped into the market, and now there's, like, a huge overproduction of weed, but you can't sell it over state lines.
Yeah.
So a lot of it's just, like, withering away and dying. But it's so cheap now. Like, you can get an ounce for, like, $60.
What?
Yeah.
So like it's,
a,
like...
a bag that big.
Oh, that's because we have, like, we have supply shortages in Canada right now.
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't affect the price because it's regulated. Like, it's regulated,
yeah.
But there's pretty big shortages.
Yeah, wow. I used to have an Airbnb, and these two girls were staying there for just a weekend, and they left, and I go upstairs to clean it, and they left a bag seriously this big, and they're like, "Sorry, we bought too much. Hope you can use it."
Oh my god!
Are you kidding me? Like, if I was in high school, I would have been like, "Ooh!"
Your pillow.
It can't be too hard to get weed here, though. I imagine, like, it is. From what I understand, it is.
I think the drug
it is
laws
legal.
Are pretty strict.
Like, possession is legal
in Georgia.
Here. Yeah,
that's what you're saying.
I don't know.
That's what I read. I fact checked that shit. Like, it's not legal to sell it. But like, even that guy yesterday, we asked. You were like, "Is it legal here?" He was like, "Yeah, it's legal."
Yeah, he went up to a guy yesterday in this, like, little town that we were in, and he's like, "What did you say?" You're like,
hey, can I buy some weed?
Did you smell it? Is that why, or did you just...
No, he just... Michael was like, "Hey, that guy looks like he'd have weed." I was like, "Okay, I'll go ask."
He has long hair.
These guys.
And this guy was like, "No, not to buy." And we were like...
And he's like, "You don't say that. Like, you get in trouble. You don't say that." He's like... But you can smoke it with us.
Yeah, I had time.
So apparently here you don't ask to buy, you just ask like, "Hey, do you have any weed?" Or, "Hey, like, yeah."
Yeah. Oh, that's cool.
"Do you have some weed I could have?" Or, and then they'll smoke you up.
Yeah.
Well, on that note, I'm going to sign off this podcast. Just a little bit of like roundtable, international roundtable, just some casual conversation at the... Yes. Did you see the movie yet?
Yeah. Oh, it's so funny.
Oh, yeah.
It's so funny.
Oh, it's so good. So, yeah, that's just a little bit of random conversation that you hear at the hostel. And we'll just sign out. If everybody could just say, "Homies around the world." 1, 2, 3. Homies around the world. Thank you.
It was better than the pizza.
Sweaty Yeti here with some new friends that just joined us, some new Americans. And they are all in the Peace Corps in Armenia. So why don't you go around and just kind of introduce yourself?
My name is Nicole. I'm 31 years old from the Northern Virginia, D.C. area. And I've been living in Armenia since March. Yeah, March of this year. Spent 3 months, maybe 2 months in the town of Hoptashat, or just outside of Yerevan, and now I live in Lori Mars region.
Can we hear some Armenian from you?
Sure. Imanune Nikolne. Yes, Yerasun Mek Tarekanem. Unem Mayere U Miyak Mayere. Yes, aprumam hayastanum.
Nice. Sounded good. Okay, and how about you? What's your name?
My name is Ree Rogers, and I am from Denver, Colorado. And we've all been here since March. And I live in the south part of Armenia and teach English. It's pretty great. Yeah.
Do you want to spit some Armenian?
Oh, God.
You literally could just make up a bunch of sounds and we would believe you.
We had practice.
I know. Imanuna Rine.
How do you say cheers in Armenian?
Oh, cheers. I don't know. Well, they say all kinds of toasts. They're very formal. They're a very formal. They're a very formal country. Toch urakutsun lini.
Wow, that sounded cool. Woo! Clink glasses. Are we sitting here with Americans or a bunch of Armenian natives? Okay, and do you want to introduce yourself?
In English or Armenian?
We'll start with English and then do the Armenian.
All right. My name is Catherine. I'm also from the Northern Virginia area outside D.C. Like everyone else here, we're all English teachers. I'm also in Lori Mars. I teach at a high school, and I look like I'm 16, so that's just fun.
Wait, do the students give you wedgies in the locker room?
More like marriage proposals. But they're really good kids. They're fun. They make my job enjoyable.
Nice. And can we hear some of your Armenian?
Yes, Catherine. Yes, Kasan Chor Stadikanem. Yes, Aprumem Stepanafanum, Hayestanum. Yes, Sanvelem Sterlingum, Americayum. Yes, Unem Mek Metz Queer. Na Kasan Vets Tarikana. Yes, Unem Mek Katu.
Wow, this is really impressive. Cheers to learning like fluent Armenian in 7 months.
Ayo.
Ayo.
Or ha. Ha would be like,
yeah.
Casual.
Ha.
Okay.
Boch is no, or che.
Boch is like a hard no.
Like, that's,
yeah. No. Che is like a soft no. Like, oh, would you like a beer? Oh, che.
Keep twisting.
If you're like pushing it, like, you want a shot. I'm like, boch. Like the cha cha. Boch. Boch to the cha cha.
Chamuzu.
I do not want.
So, what inspired you all to join Peace Corps?
For me, I've always liked traveling, but it's always felt very surface level, traveling as a tourist, being in a place for a couple of days, even a week or two, with the Peace Corps provides an opportunity to really get immersed in a culture. We live with a host family, we learn the language, we teach in the schools, you really need the language to function around town, buying from local hanuts, stores. Meeting the shop owners. It's a really cool way to get outside of that American bubble that is pretty common.
America. So, Anton, do you know that there's two countries? There's America or United States, and then there's just America. That's where, like, all the Trump voters are from. America.
America.
No, but you got to say it like this. America.
Like a bad America.
There's no A or E. America. There's no vowels. America.
I've been this year to the USA, and I traveled in Montana with two. We went to a Glacier National Park with two, and an English couple, and we had a bit the game to judge Americans in like percent, and there were these Americans, they are 1,000% Americans, so for us 100% Trump voters, and I guess you call it, how do you say it?
America.
So I know that they have their own country in the country or the states.
So what do you mean, like 100% versus 1,000%?
100 is like normal. I guess I'm also 100% German because of my German accent.
So we're 100% American.
Yeah,
okay.
And Montana. Like, for example, next to this Canadian, you're 100%.
Oh, yeah. Versus a Canadian, I am more American.
I can realize.
Okay.
That's okay. Like, I'm also 100% German.
Did you meet like 10% Americans? That's good. Or like less than 100. Less than 100. Like, maybe, what is less than 100?
Maybe less than if they have two national chips, maybe.
Okay.
If it's not clear in the first at the first moment, for example. But we had more that game of this like
1,000
like keep American great shirt. So
Montana too.
Yeah, in Montana. I've been to Glacier National Park, and I think these national parks quite often are kind of a bubble.
Yeah.
In that state,
tourists there,
tourists
too.
And so on. But then you see sometimes some people like 1,000%.
I know, like even in like New York, I was in New York this summer, like visiting like home and some friends from back home, and like my boyfriend who's from Italy, he's like, I want to go see the Trump Tower. I was like, please don't make me go see the Trump Tower. And he was like, no, I know, I need to go see it. So we go to the Trump Tower, and I'm like, okay, I'm like, ugh. You know, even outside it. And then there's this like family of like five, and like, wow, 1,000% American, like crying, like I didn't know that I would ever be able to see the Trump Tower, like taking pictures, and I was like, oh my god, like so happy, like it was like the biggest privilege for them to be outside of the Trump Tower. Yeah. And I was like, that's 1,000% American. Yeah. Maybe is that what you mean?
Bye. Yeah, that's the perfect example. Yes. But we had
Mullins, they're
well, they lose a percentage point. Just they're 999% just for the fact that they're outside of Arkansas.
Yeah, that's true.
Just for the fact that they're in New York City, they lose one percentage point.
I'm so sorry. Please do not persecute.
No, it's fine.
Yes. And we are not supposed to have any political affiliations.
Oh, whoops.
Yeah.
No last names. No last names.
Yeah,
no last names.
My surname is Appenzeller.
Yeah, no,
So what are you guys going to do in Georgia while you're here? What's your plan?
Ooh, tomorrow we're visiting Kuzbegi. Is that how you say it?
Yeah.
Kuzbegi?
Yeah, doing the tour with Envoy. Then we're actually moving over to Airbnb in the city and just exploring the town mostly. I think on Tuesday we'll visit Gori, where Solon was born. Just check out that.
Meet up with some other PCVs, Peace Corps volunteers.
Peace Corps volunteers.
That also want to check it out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How do they feel, or how has your family like stated anything about Russia? Or like, I know you guys mentioned before, but no, not really.
No.
American or Armenian families?
No, your Armenian families.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Because Russia is Armenia's kind of single alliance in this region.
Okay.
That's where all their imports come from, both food-wise and like gas, electricity.
Yeah. They get a lot of support from
Russia. They heavily rely on Russia, mm-hmm. so it's all very positive
things
that they say. Yeah. A lot of the men, like we were talking about earlier,
like
a lot of the men go to Russia.
Yeah,
from
I mean,
yeah, you said that.
Yeah, that's where the money's at, and they send it back home.
And they'll send it back to Armenia.
Yeah, because like where we were in Georgia yesterday, we were in this like small village, and we met this like girl. She was probably like in her 20s, and she says something about Russians, and we're like, well, what about Russians? She was like, they're occupants. I won't go.
I won't visit Gori.
She said, I won't go there and give them my brain neurons. She said that. She said that. She was really cool, but she was like, I won't go there.
Well, what just happened recently? Like, there was like a speech, and then the guy
in
gave.
June,
yeah.
In June,
it was in June.
In June, they said, like, and then Russia was like, we won't allow, like, Russians to go to Georgia.
Yeah,
and
it just turned into this whole.
It's very intense. I think when in the split, Georgia was much stronger with their independence from the Soviet Union.
Yeah.
Whereas Armenia has one open border, and that's Georgia.
Yeah.
The rest are...
No.
Turkey.
Well, they have
Iran,
but it's not as profitable, I think.
It's a smaller border, too.
Yeah,
it's much smaller. Some trucks will come from Iran into Sunik Mars, but, like... Armenians don't go down there. They don't send in much.
I mean, she was even saying, she's like, your roads up here are way better than down in the south. I'm like, it's because the government puts a lot of money into the roads to trade through Georgia.
I have trucks come through my town all the time because I'm so close to Georgia. I'm one of three main routes into Georgia. There's only three, and I'm one of them. So I always have the trucks come through.
Oh, interesting.
because that's where all the imports come from. Armenia relies so heavily on Russia economically.
Yeah.
That, I think, makes it hard politically. I'm not allowed. I don't know if I have this opinion or not. It seems to me, from my family's perspective,
that's
why Armenia is struggling democratically, is because they still are so influenced by Putin, because they need that relationship to be strong.
Are you guys able or want to visit Iran while you're in this region?
Yeah. We are not allowed to.
No.
We cannot visit Azerbaijan. We cannot visit Iran.
Yeah.
Turkey, we can't.
Really? Turkey, you can?
But we have to go through Georgia.
Yeah.
Because our border is closed.
Yeah.
But Azerbaijan, there's a ceasefire.
Yeah.
But they are consistently alleged, so I hear, ignoring that, and Armenians die regularly.
Yeah.
If we go to Azerbaijan, we have the stamp in our passport.
Yeah.
You cannot enter Armenia.
Yeah. That's why we are going from the other way.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or just like in general, like we could not return.
The perspective on that is very different.
I'm sure it is. We only hear one side of it.
And also the Azeri perspective is also not the right perspective. Like, you know, the truth lies
somewhere in the middle.
Between, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So like we only hear the Armenian side, which is very interesting for us.
So we took a tour of Gori today and we went to the Stalin Museum and our guide, who's Georgian, and she's from Gori, and she was translating from the Russian guide. So the guide would like, and they consider Stalin like a god, and she was like, she was like saying stuff in Russian, and then like our guide would kind of like roll her eyes and be like, she's saying that this.
But,
and she kind of just give us like a look like, this is kind of bullshit. You know? It was pretty funny.
Did you do that with Omar?
What's that? Yeah.
You did
just
it?
Did that today.
Like, these countries are so close together, like,
that's
religiously,
so
maybe politically, I don't know, but like, God, the differences are so.
Yeah.
Yeah, like with Russia, maybe, I don't know, Georgia's probably neutral, Azerbaijan, I don't know. Like, it's so interesting. They're neighbors, and they're so similar yet different. And we're in this weird bubble of, like, America does not recognize federally the Armenian genocide. States do, but nationally we don't.
Yeah.
But, like, living in Armenia...
Is that just to make Turkey happy?
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. We're NATO allies.
Yeah.
And you need to find, like...
Not gonna risk that. And what's the political advantages?
Yeah,
that's what I tell my family. I'm like, this is why. I know, like, I don't necessarily agree.
So what do you guys miss from home the most?
Chipotle. Chipotle and mac and cheese.
Oh, I miss
mac and cheese. No, good, different, our cheeses, our cheddar cheeses, like European cheeses that aren't outrageously expensive. I really miss having a place I can socialize outside. Because there really isn't that sort of realm. In Armenia, it is more male-based, those types of places. If you want to go have a beer, like, just women don't do that. Women do not really go out.
That's just women don't drink beer.
Just in case if you beer.
It's just, it's just not.
Do you have to dress a certain way at all?
I do dress more conservatively than I would, in the States.
Short skirts. You wear hose. You wear makeup, and you don't wear tank tops.
Yeah, you don't wear tank tops.
No low cut houses.
Which I'm actually like, I kind of dress like that anyway. So I'm just so it wasn't too big of a difference for me, and it is going to be colder, and it's cold for most of the year, so. I just brought a lot of long sleeve shirts anyways. But in the summer, it gets pretty hot. But even my host family, they've always just been very supportive of me. They're like, why don't you just wear your tank top? It's okay, you're an American. You're that weird. So we always think we could get usually a pass sometimes because we're that weird American. But we are still in the stages of integration, and I don't feel comfortable just being outside in my tank top. Because I do have tattoos, and they get curious. But they know me, I think, now. But still, I just feel more comfortable just covering those up. Just out of respect or anything.
and just
somewhere everybody,
you know, yeah. not being too frisky. But it's so funny, my staff, the teachers, they're always telling me we're going to go to the regional capital, and they're like, we're going to get you these short skirts, and I'm like, no, I like my longer skirts. Like, or they'll ask me, why don't you wear more makeup?
They're trying to turn you into an Armenian thought.
Well, then I tell them, you know, they always ask me, like, why don't you wear more makeup? And I tell them I'm too lazy in the morning. And then I tell them, like, every day, I don't want to have to take off my makeup every day. You know, just having to take off especially the mascara. I love it, but I hate wearing mascara because it's just such a pain to take off. I can't be bothered with it. So, and then they're like, okay, whatever.
That's cool.
15, and then again,
so are you overall glad that you got assigned Armenia, or do you kind of like wish?
You know, at the end of the day, so this was actually my fourth time applying to this.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and I finally got in, but I actually got accepted to Peace Corps Georgia. So the first three times I applied, I told them to put me anywhere. And the first two times, I had gotten put in the pool of Armenia. Mm. And then the third time was actually the only time I actually got an interview. And I got put in the pool of Namibia. But I didn't think I did the interview that well. Mm. So then after that, I ended up I quit my job of 6 years, my office job. I was a logistics coordinator. And I went to Colombia to teach English. I was born there, actually. I'm actually adopted from there.
From where?
Colombia.
Colombia, oh, okay. Yeah.
Cool. So it was my first time back there since I was a baby. So yeah. 30 years.
Wow.
And I taught English there. I loved it. And I knew it was only going to be a short time. It was only like 5 months, 6 months for a contract. And when I got back, I was looking for jobs in the D.C. area. And I was like, you know, I'm just going to see what Peace Corps has on their website. And they had a Peace Corps Georgia TOEFL position open. So I was like, what the heck? I'm just going to apply to that. And you can only have one application at a time. So I did one of the... Now you can specifically apply. So I specifically applied for Peace Corps Georgia. Ended up getting here for certain reasons, medical reasons. So, you know, but at the end of the day, I would have done anywhere else.
Yeah.
Because I've been wanting to do Peace Corps.
So it's competitive enough that you kind of have to just take it or leave it in a way, it sounds like? Or...
Yes and no. They still kept me in the system when I found out I couldn't come here. I couldn't serve in Peace Corps Georgia. So they just gave me a list of countries I could serve in. A lot of them were Spanish speaking countries, and I know now that they are more competitive. They would prefer people who speak.
Did you want to be in a Spanish speaking country?
I mean, ideally, but I was, from what I understood, I maybe wrong about this, but I, from my understanding, they want more fluent speakers or people who actually had proper like classroom training, which I didn't. I mean, I was coming from Colombia, so I had some. I was able to get by with my Spanish.
Yeah.
I mean, now I couldn't even. I forgot most of it because all I could think about is Armenian. When I think of like a Spanish word, I was thinking of one the other
Armenian
day.
Just pushed the Spanish.
It really
out of
does.
Your head.
It really just pushes it right out, which is. When I go back to the States, I'm probably going to try and pick it back up.
What are you guys, are you thinking about what you want to do after Peace Corps? Or?
Well, Rhea and I, so it's funny because Rhea and I have been out of college for a while. We're kind of more like the older.
Me a lot longer.
Yeah. Yeah. You a lot longer than me. But still, usually most people think, oh, fresh out of college, usually.
Go, like, run away for 2 years while you decide what you want to do with your
life. I'm 31.
It's kind of
So it's just,
so young.
Yeah. Get your life.
Yeah, but I'm like, I don't know.
Do
I want to go to grad school?
Grad school.
Going to that?
Grad school. But you said political science was your background?
Cheese and sausage, please take some.
Yeah.
That's so cool.
I just I need to cut it up.
Yeah.
And cheers.
The word care. The word care.
Okay. Yeah,
take some. Telling someone to eat. Thank you.
Jordan.
Sorry. That's it. I'll eat it.
Okay.
I don't care.
Oh.
So, like.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, so the word kid is thrown around.
You haven't eaten anything.
All day, every day. Eat, eat, eat.
Yeah, they love it when you just talk.
That's how they
want you to eat. They want you to eat. They're good people.
Yeah.
But I'm not used to it. We're just not used to it.
Yeah. America is such an independent society and culture.
So when I say I don't want it, I just want to say it one time and not be told again to eat it.
Yeah. But no means maybe.
No means maybe.
No means maybe.
Means ask me again later.
Yeah. give me a second.
I'll I try like this. I have different methods, and that's okay. A little bit later. I just tell them mi kichetto. A little bit later.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm like okay. Okay. Yeah. I'm like not right now. Or sometimes they'll be like, oh, you haven't eaten these at all since we offered you. Do you not like grapes? Do you not like peaches? I'm like, no, I like these things. I just don't want to eat them all the time. You know, I just simply don't want. I just tell them, yeah, no, I like them. I just don't want them.
Yeah, we were in Jordan before this, and we would eat. So we were doing Habitat for Humanity, and we would eat our dinners at different local families' homes. This was in Pella, Jordan. It's kind of like northwest of Amman.
That's cool.
And every night we would eat at a different local family's home. And they would just make so much food. I mean, literally like five times as much food as we could possibly eat.
Yeah.
And you're just like so stuffed. And they're just like, aren't you hungry? Don't you want more food? And we're just like, there's no space in here.
Yeah.
That's my answer now. I learned how to say that. It's like,
oh, yeah?
Ter chika.
Uh-huh.
Like, there's no place.
Yeah, place is ter, but sorry, but. But that's what you
say. Yeah. Ter chika. And then she just laughs, and I'm like, yes, pokerem. I'm small. I'm like, my stomach is small. Like, I'm like, if you can make them laugh, it usually gets them off
your
back.
Yeah.
And it's a really cute bonding way now.
Yeah.
When my language gets stronger, I make jokes now.
Yeah.
Or I sass. Cool.
Yeah.
I sass back. And my host mom loves it.
Sass back in Armenian.
Yes. There was one night, it was like the homemade jam. And she's like, oh, eat the jam with your tea. Like, don't you want it? It's full of vitamins. It's very good for your stomach. And then I'm just like, oh, I don't know. And she's like, I'm going to have bread and cheese. And I was like, what? I'm like, but Armin, hey, I'm like, Angel Okdakara. I just repeated her words back to her. I'm like, so, you know, the vitamins. And she just laughs.
So what's something that you would, like, if you had known before you signed up for Peace Corps that you know now that kind of surprised, well. That she's doing it now too.
Yes.
What was it? Tote chikam or what? What was it?
Ter.
Chika.
Ter
chika.
Ter chika.
Well, actually, what? Somebody that's like interested in doing the Peace Corps or curious about it, what's something that you would advise them to do?
If you have a place you're really fixed on going, don't even bother to apply because you'll get placed wherever they need you.
Right.
And
that's it.
And that kind of proves too how unflexible you are.
Yeah.
Peace Corps is all about flexibility. Mm. Yeah. Like my site where I live is very different from Nicole's, which is very different from Ree's. Yeah. And there's no way to prepare for that. You just
it's
gotta
like if
go
you think you're
flow.
Flexible. Peace Corps is going to test that.
Oh, yes.
If you think you're already flexible.
Your patience.
Your it'll test your patience. It'll test your flexibility.
Yeah, so I had a friend that
absolutely.
Was, like, fluent in Spanish, had lived in South America, and she wanted to be in a South, or like a Spanish-speaking country, and they put her in Vladivostok, and she was super bummed
cool?
about
Russia.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
But I think that must have been back in the day when you, like, literally had no choice.
Oh,
over,
yeah. No, like, only no in literally because I started applying right after they switched over to the online applications. And, yeah, that's exactly. So my parents were Peace Corps volunteers in the 70s in Africa, West Africa. Mm-hmm. And my mom's, I talked to my mom on Skype, and she always makes fun of me. And she's like, you got that MiFi device. So we call this Posh Corps.
Like
Peace Corps Georgia,
Armenia,
Peace Corps Armenia,
Macedonia, all of these like Eastern Europe.
We call this Posh Corps because we get a lot of
it.
Oh my gosh, yeah, look at Tbilisi. Yeah. This
look
is
at this,
gorgeous. Imagine those like
Peace Corps Africa people.
Yeah.
That like have to go like devs of collect Peace Corps their water Asia. From yeah. their rain.
They have to go to like get their water from a well.
Yeah. And then Malawi.
Is that what you is that the kind of experience that you were expecting or wanting or
so yeah, I actually no, I actually did I wanted that rugged but I also wanted to go someplace absolutely new that I've never been to before.
Yeah.
And that was the Caucasus. Mm. So I was like, you know what? Yeah, give me the Caucasus. I knew it was going to be cold, so I knew that was going to be a challenge. And I faced my own challenges. I would say, yeah, sure, we get Wi-Fi devices, but I think the biggest challenge is like more of a mental challenge because there's a lot of culture shock. There's a lot of stuff I get really frustrated with.
Yeah.
You know, just at site with my family, with my job. But I mean, I love it. It's still awesome.
Yeah.
But it tests me. It does test me. And
oh yeah, this is gonna be
you know,
good.
Even though we do get some nice. I mean, I live in a village. I'm really close to.
I think you are.
Kind of big town. But I mean, we don't get running water.
Really?
Yeah, a good okay. days of that.
So, do you
so I think that's why, like, I'm like, okay, I'm kind of living that. I mean, we do
so
get.
Do you have a well or something?
So we don't. We actually don't. And actually, my site.
How do you even get water?
So it does come. It does come, but we just it's not regular and. It doesn't seem to be on a set schedule.
At the end of the day,
it just comes
all you have
when it
to
comes.
Do is just
and then during that time when it does come.
You're like, oh shit, shower
yeah.
time.
I'm like, okay, shower time. and most of the time I just wash my hair because yeah. I usually do just like wet wipe baths.
Yeah.
And that's just, I'm like, all right, that's fine. It's mostly my hair that like, gets really gross. And I go to school every day and, you know, the teachers like to look nice. They dress really nice. So like, and most I like my hair to look nice.
I'm a little scared.
So that's what I. If I can get my hair clean, maybe two or three times a week, I'm happy.
Yeah,
that's good for me.
Last
that's a
time
big
was deal. Puking
whereas, literally 30 minutes away, is the regional capital. My friend, he lives there, and he's like, oh my god, I couldn't do that. I had to, you know, he takes showers every day.
He has like a TV. He moved out. He got an apartment.
Yeah, some people can move out.
He has like a TV, nice kitchen. Mm-hmm.
That's posh core.
Oh yes, I think. Oh gosh, I think if you have an oven.
Yeah,
that's good. Most people have
his
like oversized toaster oven.
Yeah.
But his oven has two temperatures, really cold or like just scorching hot. So he's in the market for a new oven. But at the end, it's like, but it's just, I don't know, it's like a little.
And that's like small potatoes. Yeah, in the grand scheme of things. I mean, you know, you don't have like the perfect oven.
We have internet.
We have
internet.
Little portable internet devices, so you don't need a phone plan because that's expensive. So I have my little internet device, and I have Wi-Fi in my house.
Okay.
So like, if over the summer we would lose the Wi-Fi from like 3 to 5 p.m. Typically, it was pretty on schedule. I would just turn on my device.
Yeah.
Continue watching Netflix. Like the lazy volunteer I was over the summer. Because without school, I hadn't met my students yet. What am I going to do?
But you couldn't leave during that time because they want you to
integrate.
Yeah.
So, like, you can stay in. I still visited other volunteers to see their sites. But typically, I tried to do an English club at my school and it didn't take off. I knit like 4 hats. I read books. I watched way too much Netflix. So like we still, you know, we might have like digestion problems sometimes from the cooking, but like then we have Wi-Fi.
Yeah.
Can't complain. So it's
all good. Well, do you have any funny bathroom stories then?
Oh gosh, it's just a Peace Corps thing. You're friends quickly. Like we all talk about our poop. Like you're either
we give updates.
Yes.
We're like,
no. I'll like text Nicole because there's two states. You're either constipated or have diarrhea.
Yeah.
And it's casual conversation. I'll text Nicole and be like, oh, the diarrhea stopped, but now I'm on constipation. And it's normal.
Or it's like, is the watermelon and cantaloupe giving you diarrhea? Because That was a summer discussion.
Yeah, the watermelon.
That was a scientific discovery of collecting data. Watermelon, is there a correlation? Yeah. Watermelon diarrhea? Yes, yes. Okay.
See, I've been wanting to start a coffee table book of, like, worst third world toilets in the world.
Or, like, a second world. I don't know where we're at.
Okay.
Well, before I came to Peace Corps, when I was researching Peace Corps Georgia, one of the main things was outdoor bathrooms. Outhouses. And that was like the only thing we had. In Armenia, a lot of my neighbors have those, but in my household, we actually have a Western style.
With indoor plumbing and stuff?
Yeah. We can actually flush the toilet paper down. Oh. Some places you can. But we also have an outdoor house.
I forget about my outhouse.
Yeah, we do have an outhouse.
There was a bad moment in the summer. All the watermelon and the white cherries, not the red cherries.
It was like a double dose of that.
And like my poppy, my like host grandpa was in the bathroom, and I was just like, waiting.
You're just like, gotta go.
How long can I wait? How long can I hold this out for? Because I forgot about the outhouse. Yeah. Otherwise, I would have used it.
Oh, I've definitely used the outhouse in emergency situations. Which is fine, because honestly, that's how you should. Better for your body.
You realize listening to you guys talk sounds like a scene out of Borat. It's like, I get the clock radio. He never wants a clock radio. I get front step. He not have front step.
I haven't thought about Borat in a long time.
Sorry, I know it's like stereotyping.
You're revealing Reed's age here. Yeah. Yeah.
No, but it's seriously like, I'm loving the experience. Like, yeah, of course we have our frustrations, but who doesn't?
Yeah. You pick a person, you rant, and then you're better.
Yeah. Yeah. And then you say, sorry, and rant. I'm sorry, I'm done.
Sorry,
I had to get that off my chest.
Yeah. Really, the pros outweigh the cons so much.
Well, with that, I just want to thank you guys for being on the podcast. And if I could get you to all say, on the count of three, homies around the world. Okay, which is the name of the podcast.
Can we get some more toast in, though, before...
Oh, we should get another toast in.
Oh.
So...
I ran out.
Oh, do you want some wine?
Is this the Georgian wine?
I have no idea.
Do you want to try this Georgian wine?
We were counting before. We have to get to 13 toasts.
Yeah. That's an unlucky number.
For me, it's the whole world.
Also, I probably need 10% of
what I do.
Toast. So where are you going next? What about like?
Here, we'll just do a toast real quick.
Yeah, that's a toast.
Who wants to be the toast master?
Who wants to be the toast master? Okay.
Sentence.
You want to be the toast master? Anton.
No, I don't want to be the Toastmaster.
Catherine?
We can do our little group Armenian one.
Okay.
Our vocabulary is limited.
Let's hear it. Okay, so on the count of three, say homies around the world. One, two, three.
Homies around the world.
Woo!